Welcome to Write Through the Roof, the podcast for writers who want to improve their craft. I'm Madeline D'Est, and in this show, I'm interviewing writers of all different types and asking, what's that one thing that took your writing to the next level? So come and join me and learn all the proven tips, tricks, and techniques to take your writing right through the roof. Welcome to Write Through the Roof, and today I'm speaking with Grant Faulkner. Hi, Grant. How are you going?
Hey, Madeline. Nice to be on. Thank you for having me.
No problem. A little introduction about Grant. So Grant Faulkner is the Executive Director of National Novel Writing Month, also known as NaNoWriMo, and he's the co-founder of 100 Word Story. He's published Pep Talks for Writers, 52 Insights and Actions to Boost Your Creative Mojo, Fishes, a collection of 100 Word Stories, and Nothing Short of 100, Select Tales from 100 Word Stories. His stories have appeared in dozens of literary magazines, including Tin House, the Southwest Review, and the Gettysburg Review, as well as anthologies such as The Best Small Fiction and Norton's New Micro Exceptionally Short Fiction. His essays on creativity have been published in the New York Times, Poets and Writers, Writer's Digest, and The Writer. He also co-hosts Write Minded, a weekly podcast on writing and publishing. You sound like a very busy guy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, very busy guy. The name of your podcast is basically what I espouse, to write through the roof, so I'm in the right place.
Yeah. Fantastic. So yeah. How I like to start is a few kind of warm-ups. So, you know, I don't know if you jog or whatever, a bit of jogging on the spot, a bit of like yoga to start you off.
Yeah. Yeah. Good way.
Yeah.
Good to warm up. It's always good to warm up.
Absolutely. You don't want to injure yourself.
Right.
So you write lots of different stuff. What's your favorite? So long or short? What do you like to write the most?
Oh, boy. I'm going to be a bad interview subject here because I'm not going to take a strong position. I like writing long form and short form, you know, equally well. It kind of just depends on my mood and what my story idea requires. Some story ideas obviously require a novel, you know, and some require just 100 words. So I don't know how my brain, you know, senses that or figures that out, but it's the case. And so I like both forms, and I also like writing fiction and nonfiction as well. I think it's interesting for me to actually balance or kind of mingle the short forms with the long forms and the fiction with the nonfiction. I think they all sort of inform each other and help me make me a better writer.
So in that case, are you a plotter or a pantser?
Yeah, good question. I'm going to take a position on this, but I guess I'm a moderate guy. I'm a middle of the road guy in this sense. I am a plantser, mm-hmm. or that's the word in NaNoWriMo lore. So I like to sketch out a story, especially a novel. I like to kind of spend a month or two kind of daydreaming about it, maybe writing a little, you know, some character details or some scenes, and just kind of like, I call it letting the ideas percolate or marinate in my mind, and then start writing and go gangbusters with that first draft. I think every writer should experiment with their creative process, and I always, you know, keep tweaking and trying new things. When I have done things like outlined a novel before writing it, I find that it takes the mystery out of it. Like, I know too much. Too much has been determined. And I'm the kind of writer who writes for that mystery in order to kind of understand things and explore the story. There's a quote from Robert Frost that I like to mention. He says, "No surprise in the writer, no surprise in the reader." So I write to be surprised. And sometimes if I'm plotting too much ahead of time, it takes the surprise out of the writing experience for me.
Yeah, because I've done NaNoWriMo probably, I don't know how many times, and in the early days where I never won, whereas I've got to the point now where I know what I need to do. I think it would be always where I'd get to that certain point where I just run out of steam because I hadn't learnt enough yet to go, okay, well, stop now. You've run out of steam. Think about what you've written. What comes next? Whereas I just kind of write myself into a corner and go, oh, crap.
Yeah, that's easy to do, definitely. I think that can happen even if you've written an outline. You know, I think the people who are plotters, the best plotters, they'll write an outline, but they'll tell me that they will take liberties with that they'll go off script, that they write with a sense of freedom. Mm. And so I think that's really important.
Mm. Although some of the writers I've spoken to, especially some crime writers, have got like some hardcore spreadsheets going on.
Yeah, it's all what works for you, really. And I know R.L. Stein, who's, I don't know, he's sold something like half a billion books, and he comes out with a new one every other week or so. But he says the only way that he is that prolific is because he outlines ahead of time. And so I think if you are that type of writer, yes, an outline and plotting can be your fuel. I just happen to not be that type of writer.
Mm, cool. So do you get a chance to write every day?
You know, I write most days. My life has gotten so busy. I have children and a dog as well. That some days I miss these days, and that's too bad. I do think that I like to tell this story of Toni Morrison. When she wrote her first novel, she was a single working mom, and she wrote for 15 minutes a day, and that was after she'd worked, after she'd fed her kids, after she'd helped them with their homework, after she'd gotten them to bed. So it wasn't her best creative time, but still she did it. And just those 15 increments, minutes of writing every day, like, led to the big novel. And so I'm trying to challenge myself to do the same. Those days when I just don't have the time to do it, just to pause. And even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes before bed, I think just like writing a little bit, keeping things moving, is really good.
Yeah, great. Excellent. So it sounds like we've got to know you a little bit more. So let's firstly talk about your writing. So how do you describe your writing, and are there any particular themes that you like to explore?
That's a really good question. And I think I was just talking to someone the other day. There's a saying that a lot of writers really only have one story or one novel in them, and they tell it in a whole variety of different ways. And I think there is often truth in that we're all sort of pursuing the same themes and trying to understand them. And usually that's a kind of unconscious thing. It's not like I sit down and say, oh, I'm going to write this same theme, but with this new twist this time. And I don't know exactly how to define or answer your questions, but I would say that I remember when the I forget his name actually, but the guy who came up with the TV series Mad Men, Matt Wiener, that's his name. And he said, he didn't say this actually, somebody said it about him. They said that Mad Men was like a little boy looking through the keyhole and kind of observing and eavesdropping on his parents and trying to figure out their lives. And I think there's some truth of that with me as well. I grew up in a small town in a rural state in Iowa. And what was interesting about growing up there is that most people put on a very, like, you know, sort of good citizenship persona or surface. But then I'd hear all these stories about, you know, just crazy sin happening, you know, the most, you know, transgressive behavior. And so I've always, I think, in my stories, trying to understand what's behind the veil. And especially when people are sort of looking for salvation, but in the wrong ways. So I think a lot of my stories have characters who are sinning with quotation marks around it, but they're really trying to figure out who they are in life and to sort of seize their freedom.
Mm, fascinating. Excellent. So let's talk about the big question. So what do you think is the one thing that's been most important in improving your writing?
Well, I think really it's writing regularly. I mean, I decided to be a writer when I was 20 years old. And I was in college then, but the first summer I, you know, deemed myself a writer. I lived on my grandparents' farm, and the farm was kind of this ramshackle farm that was sort of falling apart. But my grandmother had renovated a chicken coop of all things, so it was this one room kind of cabin or shack. And I wrote there every morning. And I've never not written. You know, I've wanted to be a writer my entire adult life, and I think just showing up and writing every day is really the key. And I've especially in those early days, I would try to imitate my favorite authors, and I think that they were like mentors to me. I would read their novels and try to write just like them. And so I think that active reading and really like really like delving into what you read and question it and really think about it and analyze it and then bring that to your writing and do it a lot. Yeah.
Because it's interesting to hear you say that, because I personally had always wanted to be a writer but had never had the discipline to necessarily sit down. You know, and I'd thought about it a lot, but I hadn't sat down, especially at that younger age, to do it more regularly. And that is where I think to my own writing journey, which I don't like to say writing journey because it's a bit daggy, is that NaNoWriMo actually really helped me because of it.
It does.
Yeah, it gave me that pride or that knowledge that I could do this.
Yeah. I think, I say NaNoWriMo is like one part writing boot camp, one part rollicking party. And I think that boot camp part is really important because to write 50,000 words in a month, you really do have to show up every day or pretty much every day, or at least do some extreme days of writing. So it teaches you discipline. And I like to think that people, when they do NaNoWriMo, and I've heard this from people, that they establish a creative momentum. Mm. They do learn that discipline. So it takes them beyond November. So they'll keep writing, keep showing up to reach their creative goals afterwards.
Yeah, and it also, as I said, gives you that confidence.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the thing. Like, the more you write, the more you can trust yourself, you know, that you can tackle a story. And every writer I know goes through that. I mean, you said journey. Journey is the right word, actually. You tackle a big novel and you're so likely to have so many moments of self-doubt when you think the idea for the novel is horrible or the writing is horrible or both or other things. But when you've written for a long time, you know you can get through those moments of self-doubt. You can you know that those voices, you can banish them. And that the only way to find out if it's a good idea, the only way to write it well is to sit down and do it. You know, that's the interesting thing about novels, is you really have to write them to figure out if they're going to work.
Fantastic. So are you trying anything new at the moment in your writing?
You know, I wouldn't say I'm trying anything dramatically new. I just wrote a novel that is told, though, through it's an epistolary novel, so it's told through letters. And so that's a very different sort of narrative technique. And that has been interesting to think about how to tell a story through. I mean, they're letters also, that they're only from one person to the other. They've never been sent. So there's not like back and forth letters. And so it's an interesting, I guess, challenges of characterization and plot and movement. It's been wonderful to write that way. I miss letter writing. I grew up in the age of letter writing. So I think that's why I chose to tell the story through letters.
So when is it set, your story?
Oh, it's set in contemporary times, okay, or at least within the last few years. There's a whole background to why the character's writing letters instead of emails or something. But,
Fantastic.
Contemporary novel.
Excellent. So what writers inspire you?
Oh, so many. And since I do write, you know, these tiny stories and also long novels, both novelists and flash fiction writers, like Lydia Davis is a favorite on the flash fiction side. James Salter, who recently died a few years back, I think he is just one of the most poetic writers I've ever read. There's something about the way he writes sentences that are just, you can't really imitate him in some ways. Same thing with Dennis Johnson. Jesus' Son was a deep influence on me, especially 10 or 20 years ago when I was kind of exploring similar subject matter. Let me think. I loved Alana Ferrante's series that took place in Naples. Is that enough? I have plenty more, I'm sure.
That's plenty. If they're the ones that roll off your tongue, they're the ones that are your most...
Yeah, I like Leonard Cohen a lot. I mean, he's a musician, but I read his... I know he has a new book of poetry coming out. I do try to always be reading a book of poetry. And even like nonfiction writers or philosophers like Roland Barthes, I love his... He's just such an elegant writer.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit more about your new book, Pep Talks for Writers. What inspired that?
Yeah, well, sometimes I would talk to NaNoWriMo writers, and they would tell me that, you know, they loved writing in November. They discovered themselves as creators, but they had a hard time, you know, keeping writing after November. And so that's why there are 52 essays in the book. The idea is to develop a creative mindset so that you can write year round. And so I think people, from what I've heard, they read it all different ways. I've talked to people who literally do read one essay a week, and to have that, like, kind of build that creative mindset. I have other people who've read it, you know, straight through, or who just drop in and every once in a while and look at an essay that is about a particular challenge that they're experiencing it. So that was the genesis of it, and it was also, you know, there are just so many obstacles to people and how they get. What stands between them and their story. And so I just really explored so many of those different things that prevent people from telling their stories, and tried to, like, also address ways to help people just, you know, kind of be galvanized and believe in themselves and get their story out there.
So what are some of your favorites of the 52?
Yeah, good question. I like the chapter on vulnerability a lot. I think that the best writing happens when a writer puts his or her heart on the page and really makes him or herself vulnerable. You know, a lot of people talk about writer's block, which I don't believe in, by the way. And so there's a chapter called Getting Ideas, a Writing Rorschach Test. That's really a lot about prompts, but it excavates Ray Bradbury's. He had this interesting way to prod himself to write. I like the chapter on building a creative community. You know, I think sometimes writers overemphasize their solitude. And obviously writing is a very solitary act, but most great writers throughout history have been part of a creative community, and they've fed off of that. Like, if you think of the Beatniks, Paris in the 20s, Virginia Woolf and Bloomsbury, J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and the Inklings, you know, so many writers have a community that's really propelled them forward. I like, there's some absurd chapters in here about, the necessity to maintain a playful spirit. Sometimes I think writing can be too full of anguish. So I try to give some tips about that. Let's see if there's any more here.
I found
you were about to ask a question there, right?
I was just going to make a comment, actually. So when I was having a flick through it, it was one of those books where I was thinking, okay, yeah, some of these I've seen before, but then it just kept going and going and going with 52 different ideas, and some of them, yeah, especially resonated with me, particularly that vulnerability one. I was actually thinking about it for a few days afterwards and kind of journaling about how I needed to be more, get my guts on the page.
Good. Yeah, I think, and that's part. I think the NaNoWriMo approach can help with that. I mean, another favorite chapter is improvisational writing, mm-hmm. and in so many ways, NaNoWriMo is improvisational writing, because you have to get 50,000 words on a page in a month. You have to kind of just trust your instincts and wing it a lot of the time. And so, but I think that's good, because I think that helps you become more vulnerable, because you're not thinking about things so much. You don't have that inner editor between yourself and the page, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. That's that momentum there where you can't look back because you just don't have time. It really does become a vomit of words, and whatever comes into your head, just keep going.
Yeah. I don't like that word vomit, but I understand why you're using it.
Why don't you like the word vomit?
Oh, it just has such negative connotations. I know a lot of people use it, but I don't like to think of my pages being full of vomit. I like them, you know, I think I can open up and my words can gush out of me in a different way. I don't have to be like the remnants in my stomach.
Okay, we'll differ on that point.
Yeah, you can vomit. Go ahead. If that works for you. Vomit, but I'm gonna get them out in a different way.
Excellent. All right, so I might wrap up now, considering it's a couple of weeks before November. So I'm sure you're very, very busy getting everything ready for NaNoWriMo, because I know all of the writing community on Twitter is all getting geared up, getting their plans sorted, getting their municipal liaisons on. So
yeah, are you writing this year? Are you going to do NaNoWriMo?
I'm actually not. I'm in the middle of editing stuff, so I'm not going to this year, unfortunately. But
well, here's what you could do. Can I give you a thought?
Sure, go for it.
So I think what makes NaNoWriMo so successful is setting a big goal and having a deadline. We say a goal and a deadline as a creative midwife. And even though you're editing, I'm going to advise you to take that same approach with your editing. So sign up for NaNoWriMo And just think of 1 hour of editing equaling 1,000 words. So you can be a NaNoWriMo rebel. And how many hours do you think you can edit in November?
Oh yeah. Oh, don't worry. It will be 50,000 or whatever.
You'll edit for 50 hours?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Easy.
What about 100?
I've got to work that out in terms of how many hours that is a day, but yeah, I would say probably.
Okay. Well, set that goal then. Set 100 hours of editing a day. And we actually have goal trackers on the website. You can use them separately. And so you can track the time you spend editing. So I guess I'm just challenging you to do NaNoWriMo, but to do it on your own terms and to let that goal and a deadline be a creative midwife for your editing as well as your writing.
All right. You're on. I'm going to do
it. Good. Good.
I'll log back into my account.
Yes, do. Please.
And set that up. Fantastic. Well, that's good. It's good for anyone else who's listening who isn't ready to write something new, who's in the process of editing something. So, yeah, great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Grant. So, what are you writing anything at the moment?
Well, I am. Right now, I'm just trying to hone in on my NaNoWriMo idea and write some sketches and scenes, as I was talking about earlier. And then just this morning, in fact, I printed out this epistolary novel that I was talking about, and I've revised it. Let me think. I don't know. I've lost track of how many times I've revised it, but this is the last time. I'm not going to revise it again. And so I'm going to sit down for the next week and read it and see how it holds up.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll wrap up now and let you get going. So if people want to find out more about you and your work and NaNoWriMo, where's the best place they can find information online?
Probably my website, grantfaulkner.com. Yeah, but if you Google me, a bunch of stuff will turn up. I'm on Twitter, active on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sparing the time to talk with us today.
Yeah, thank you. This was fun, Madeline.
For listening to Write Through the Roof. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe or spread the word by writing a review on your listening platform of choice. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, please go to madelinediest.com or madeline_diest on Twitter, no apostrophes. You can find the show notes for this episode on madelinediest.com under the Write Through the Roof tab. And until next time, what are you going to do to improve your writing this week?